So, brothers and sisters, today is October 4th. It's the 4th of October already. And if it wasn't Sunday today, we'd be celebrating liturgically the feast of a great saint, St. Francis of Assisi. Sundays always trump saints. So if their feast day falls on the Sunday, you celebrate the Sunday. But I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk to you about this great saint. So he lived in the 12th century. He's from Italy. Assisi is in the central part of Italy. And most people know him as some like hippie, right? He's the patron of creation or the environment. And he had a deep love for creation, but he is so much more than that. And there's so much to say about his life, and obviously I can't say everything. But the thing I've always reflected on with St. Francis as I've come to know him and know his life is that he's a great example for middle and upper middle class college kids. Because he's not so different than you. And sometimes we forget that saints have their own histories. You know, we see them in the statues, or we see them painted on icons, or we see them on a holy card, and that's what we think they were like, but we forget that they lived a human life. Francis isn't so different than you, and let me tell you why. So Francis wasn't born super rich. He wasn't part of the nobility, right? But his dad was part of the rising merchant class. He was a cloth dealer. He dealt in textiles, and he made a lot of money, actually. And so while Francis didn't have a title, it was the feudal system right at the time, he had wealth, comparative, pretty good wealth, not so different than you or me, right? He had food, plenty of it. He had a home. He had good clothes because his dad was a cloth merchant, right? And he had lots of friends. And he loved having a great time. So he's not so different than you. He wasn't someone who sat in a chapel from the time he was 3 on. No, he was out with his friends celebrating life. He loved singing. He loved holding and hosting parties. Oftentimes he'd pay for them himself. So he has a generous heart, right? And they'd stay up till late hours, celebrating and having a good time, not so different from you. He also wanted to do something lasting and significant with his life. And so again, not so different from most of you. Hopefully all of you, but most of you at least want to do something significant with your life. Okay, so for him, that meant certain paths. And one of the paths where that was possible to do something lasting and significant would be to gain glory on the battlefield, and then to live as a knight. Again, remember, feudal times. So that he would have honor and reputation, that people would know who he was, that he would make his mark. His dad wanted that too, because that was a way that their family could increase in their prestige and maybe even become nobles. So Francis gave it a try. Problem was, either he wasn't very good at it, or the Lord just absolutely did not want that to work out for him. So feudal times, his hometown of Assisi was warring with a town called Perugia, about 15, 20 miles away, and Francis goes into battle and gets captured. And he gets thrown into prison. And he's there for a whole year while his dad cobbled together enough money to pay the ransom to get his son back. You'd think that would cure him, but it didn't, actually. Because in that time, there was a conflict between the Pope and the Emperor, and it was about the island of Sicily on the south part of Italy. And so the Pope called upon his loyal servants in the central part of Italy to go down and liberate Sicily from the Emperor. So this was the chance to go make a name for yourself, right? So Francis's dad bought him a ridiculously elaborate suit of armor, and probably the most expensive thing, bought him a war horse. So Francis leaves Assisi with other men who were being summoned by the Pope, and he goes out with great fanfare. Represent us well. Make a name for yourself. Come back with glory. And so he goes on the way down, and he's traveling through the central part of Italy toward the south. But this is what started happening. In Francis's mind and in his heart, questions began to arise. And it didn't happen just like this. just like it doesn't in your life or my life, questions began to arise. Is this what my life is supposed to be about? Is this everything? And one night, he laid down to sleep, and he had a dream. And in the dream was a very vivid image. He saw a knight's castle full of all the spoils of war, armor, weapons, banners, the wealth that comes with those things. He saw it all. It was everything that he was pursuing. Honor, success, wealth, reputation. And then he heard a voice say this, "Francis, why do you serve the servant and not the master? Why do you serve the servant and not the master?" And it shook him. And he waited and he thought. And he knew that his life, he was shooting for too little. That chasing after all this worldly glory was settling for too little. That he was serving the servant and not the master. And maybe that hits home for some of you. What if you're shooting for too little by being a doctor or being a successful business person? What if you're serving the servant and not the master? And Francis listened to that voice, and then he made a move. He decided. And it was a decisive turn in his life. And there are moments in our lives that are decisive, where the choice we make lead us one way or the other. And Francis made a decisive move. He sold his fancy armor. He sold his horse. He gave his knight's cape to a beggar. He gave away the money from his instruments of war. And then he began walking. And he walked from the south of Italy all the way back to the central part of Italy. And he came back to his hometown, not covered in glory with the spoils of war, but as someone who people thought had lost his mind. What's he doing? Why did he do that? A lot of people didn't understand. It's certainly not his father. So Francis went back to some of his friends, and he wanted to have kind of a good time with them. And then he found out that what once gave him pleasure there no longer gave him pleasure. And he entered into a crisis because all his points of reference were being redefined. Everything was shifting. Pleasure, that didn't give him so much pleasure anymore. Comfort, that didn't comfort his restless heart. Success, what did that mean? Wealth, reputation, honor, it didn't matter to him anymore. But he didn't know where to go with that. And Francis, to his great credit, listened to the restlessness of his heart. He didn't try to numb those questions, that discomfort, but he listened to it. And then he began to pray. Francis was raised in a Catholic household, like many of you. But he had never really gone into what relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. Maybe like some of you, not all of you, but some of you. You just go along, skim the surface of the faith. Go to church, sure, yeah, whatever. But Francis started going deeper. And he found himself led to a little chapel outside of his hometown of Assisi. It's called San Damiano. It's St. Damien's Chapel. And in that chapel, he found that crucifix. That's a very faithful representation to what St. Francis would have looked at 800 years ago. And he was intrigued. He kept looking at it because he wanted to see. There was something that was drawing him. And what he saw on the crucifix was Jesus clearly on the cross. Blood is coming from his hands, his feet, his side. But then Francis also saw, as he looked at the face of Jesus, that that man on the cross was not in agony. And Francis looked closer and he saw a peace that he desperately wanted, a peace that he did not have. And he began to think to himself that maybe if I live my life like Jesus on the cross, maybe if I stop making my life about me and my plan, maybe if I start embracing an offering of life, suffering, sacrifice, maybe, just maybe, I too would have that type of peace. Because that's what he wanted. He wanted peace. And he saw it in Jesus on the cross. So he started to act upon what he was receiving in prayer. See, it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't a flash. Oh, now he's going to be Saint Francis. No, Jesus was drawing him, just like he draws you and me. He was drawing him. And so Francis started to act upon it. He would pray, and then he would go out, and he would make his life a gift. He would serve the poor. He would take care of the lepers, things he was never interested in before. And he started to realize that his own life was changing, that he was changing, that what once mattered to him no longer mattered, and what once he hated, now he was drawn to, and he found peace and joy in it. He was living a relationship with Jesus that he'd never experienced before. Right before this chapel was built, it was over in Assisi with a group of students from Carroll on pilgrimage, and we went down to the San Damiano Chapel, and there was a friar there who met us, and he opened up a little bit more what that relationship with Jesus looked like for St. Francis, because it's a real relationship. And what happened was this. Francis, when he would talk to Jesus, he often, beneath his crucifix, asked three questions. And the three questions were these. Who are you, Lord? Who am I? And what would you have me do with my life? Who are you, Lord? Who am I? And what would you have me do with my life? Aren't those great questions? Those are great questions. And when I heard the friar say that, I knew exactly what crucifix we'd have in this chapel. Because I want every Carroll College student and every person from Helena or from wherever you are who comes into this chapel, ask those same questions. Who are you, Lord? Who am I? What would you have me do with my life? Now, friends, note every one of those questions is made in the context of relationship with Jesus, who's a real person. Who are you, Lord? You show me who you are. Francis wasn't just speaking into the void. And then he knew that if he came to know who Jesus was, then he would know who he was. Because Francis believed a lot of lies about himself, which isn't so different from you or from me. And so Jesus, who's the truth, speaks the truth about who we are. And then when we know that truth, the truth of God's love for us, the truth of our own identity rooted and grounded in that love, then the next question makes sense and is transformed. What would you have me do with this life? What do you want from me, Lord? And when that happens, when those three questions come together in that order, then a beautiful adventure opens up. And see, friends, so many times we don't think to ask those questions, and certainly not in that order. And if we ask those questions, we usually start at the wrong end. And we say, what should I do with my life? And we're not sure, and we don't know what to do, and then we get anxious, we get fearful. And then the next question, who am I? I don't know. Who am I supposed to be? And there's so many different voices competing for your attention about that question. And oftentimes those two questions make so much noise in our minds and in our hearts that we don't even think to ask the first question. Who are you, Lord? And so then our anxiety just rises and rises and rises. And it happens here on this campus because it happens in our hearts. And it's certainly what you see going on in the world. St. Paul speaks about that. He says, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Have no anxiety at all, but make your requests known. Pray. Bring what you fear. Bring your uncertainty to the Lord. And then he says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. It's a peace that's different than any peace of the world. It's a peace that exists within the chaos of the world. Because God doesn't call us out of this world, but he calls us to live in his peace while we're in this world. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it. It's a different type of peace. But slowly, over time, Francis knew that peace. It wasn't a peace that existed without struggle. It was actually a peace in his heart that existed because he struggled, because he fought the one battle that is waging in every human heart. It's a battle between fear and trust. It's a battle between who's ultimately in charge. Is God or are we? Was Francis in charge of his own life and making things happen in his own life, or would he risk enough to let God be in charge? To let God provide for him? To let God open up the adventure? To let God write the story? Thank God St. Francis said yes to that, because the whole world is different because of him. The whole world. A simple man in the center of Italy 800 years ago changed the whole world. That's what's open to us tonight. See, eventually Francis knew that he could give his life to Jesus, that he could do so courageously, generously, and even joyfully, that it wasn't a burden to follow Jesus, it was a burden to not. That an invitation to life and grace was exactly what he was made for. He asked those great questions, and he found the answer in Christ. Brothers and sisters, what happened in St. Francis's life, it's meant to happen in ours. He risked asking Jesus who he was, and Jesus showed him. And Jesus will show you if you ask him, if you risk enough, if you ask that question and you mean it, Jesus will show you who he is. And then he'll show you who you are in him. And then in due season, he'll show you what your life is for. What a great adventure that is. Please don't miss out on it. The Lord loves you. He wants to show you who he is, who you are, and what your life is for. Start the adventure. St. Francis, pray for us.